celebrating the connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio, featuring your dream team, veterinarian Dr. Debbie White and groomer Joey Villani. And here are your hosts, Hal Abrams and Judy Francis.
We got a big show for you today. Oh, you poor guy. Here, give him a Kleenex.
Sorry about that.
The incredible Dr. Pohl from, is it Animal Planet? I'm sorry, Nat Geo Wild. And yes. His show. Now, there's a real veterinarian. And this guy has his arms way up cows. Nothing. You can tell the difference, of course, between the farm veterinarians and Dr. Debbie. You have, you don't have those muscles. You're dealing with domestic animals all the time. But he'll be on the show in just a few minutes.
And you can always tell if they're right-handed or left-handed because the arm that they go in is really big and muscled after pushing through cows and horses, that you can tell which arm that they are. Just thought I'd throw that little tidbit in.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Stacy, what are you working on?
Well, there's nothing like having a cockatoo that screams obscenities at your neighbors and then have your neighbors complain and get you taken to court. But when that neighbor happens to be your ex-husband, all the more sweet. I'll tell you about this little neighbor dispute and the cockatoo that caused all the problems coming up on Animal Radio News.
Well, Stacey, I'm going to stick around for that. I see in the news today, actually the front page of our newspaper, they're cute, they're cuddly, they're capable of driving a Wisconsin-size wedge through any relationship. We're talking about dogs. They just did a recent study. I'm trying to figure out who did it. It doesn't say right here.
Pet
insurance company, Esure. They say that these little furry narcissists are the cause of 156 fights per family per year.
Only?
I know. And the most contentious of the canine disputes center around, well, what do you think?
Sleeping in bed with you.
That is one of them.
Oh.
Or who's going to take the little guy on a walk? Or where he goes during family vacations?
Who's going to feed him and clean up after him?
These may seem minor, but they can get heated real fast. In 2007, a Seattle woman was arrested after a naked squabble with her boyfriend over whether his dog should be allowed in the bathroom while they showered together.
Oh, my gosh. That's some trouble right there. I mean, if you can't work that out, there's some big trouble right there.
Mandatory counseling would address the issues of communication, according to this insurance company.
Why is that a big deal, though? I mean, you know, you're with a guy, you got a lady, and I don't know who wanted the dog in the shower, but if my lady said, I don't really want the dog in the shower, I'd be like, okay, you know, because, you know, boom. I want the loving more than I want the dog. So.
Yeah.
And dogs should not, and dogs probably should only, what, bathe once a month?
The biggest bone of contention in our house is when the dog is sitting there when I want to get amorous with my wife. And what do you do with that, Alan?
What do I do when the dog wants to get amorous with my wife?
No, not with your wife.
Acceptable.
When you want to get amorous with your wife.
Well, that has nothing to do with the dog. First, I got to get her to say yes.
There you go.
Well, I have to say, I think my dog doesn't let me, you know, get a second date.
Oh. That's why you're single, huh?
Maybe it's more me, but whatever.
Well, Wendy, your dog goes wherever you go. I mean, we were sitting at Ed DeBevick's. You had your dog right there on the table. The dog never leaves your side.
I think it's only because of the fact that, you know, she can't get enough of me.
Big staff dinner in Las Vegas, and Wendy tries to sneak in her dog, I think that was happening. Because I didn't even actually know that you brought Baby Hope. Until I believe the waitress came up and said, is that a service dog or something like that?
I've learned you have to have very chic, beautiful bags so it doesn't look like you really have a dog.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Hi, this is Paul Rogers.
And Cynthia Rogers.
On Animal Radio.
Just know that it's going to be all right, meow.
Roll over.
Hey, wait a minute. You haven't taught me how to do that trick. I can give you my paw, though. It's Alan Cable on the Mess.
Not very good at doing tricks.
Time for your amazing dog watch.
And there he goes.
Buddy the dog climbs trees.
I've never seen one climb a tree before.
That's Jerry. She's Buddy's dog owner, or human companion, or dog roommate, whatever you want to call her. He's been climbing trees since he was a puppy, probably trying to get away from this show.
I was nervous about it at first, but now he seems very sure-footed, and so I don't worry about him.
He looks like a squirrel jumping from branch to branch to branch.
He just chases.
I think I'll start climbing trees.
Squirrels need to watch out.
This is
Animal Radio, baby.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Here's Hal and Judy.
If I haven't mentioned it, the incredible Dr. Pohl from Nat Geo will be joining us
That's
in just
fun
a few minutes.
Show.
It is
I've
fun.
Seen it a couple
he's
times.
Like, he's one of your old-time vets.
Yeah, old school.
Farm vets. Very old school. And he has a fun accent,
He makes
too.
House calls.
He does make house calls.
I guess you have to because you can't bring a lot of cows and
no,
horses
you really
to
can't.
The office. That'd be a little difficult.
And you know, if you have a horse or a cow and you have a question about it, he'll talk to you today. But hey, George, what's up?
I've got a friend whose dog just died, and he took him to the vet to find out, you know, he wanted to make sure that the dog was actually dead. And so he asked the vet to give him a second opinion, so the vet brought in a cat, and the cat came through a door, sniffed the dog's rear end, and went, meh! And I said, the vet said, yep, your dog is dead. He said, no, please, I want one more opinion. So he opened another door, and a lab came out and sniffed the dog's rear end and went, meh! He said, yes, your dog's dead. And when it came time for the bill, it was $625. Ooh. And the guy says, well, how come so much? He said, well, the CAT scan is $300 and the lab test was $300. I only charged $25.
That's pretty good. I didn't know if you were serious there for a second. It sounded funny. I didn't know if I should laugh or not.
Well, people don't take me funny, but I am. I can't take life seriously.
Oh, who can? Who can?
Well, you guys make me laugh every morning. I'm trying to stay in bed asleep, but you know, I just can't help it. So you wake me up, and
we kind of get in your ear.
And then I have a Siamese cat who's elderly. She's past 50, and I guess she's a senior. I'm 66, mm-hmm. but I don't consider myself a senior yet, but maybe in animal life, like you were saying.
Yeah.
Anyway, she's the last couple of years, she talks a lot, and then eats a lot, and then she throws up a lot. So I'm just wondering if that's normal.
Well, how often is she throwing up?
Well, lately it hasn't been that often, but sometimes 3-4 times a week.
All right. And is it after anything particular as far as dry food, canned food, or?
I've got her on a dry. I don't give her canned anymore. I just give her the really expensive $14 dry food.
The tricky thing is there's about a million causes of vomiting in cats, and I'm being somewhat serious, is that there's so many different things that can cause a kitty to vomit, especially like an intermittent vomiting problem. So for me, I always start with any kind of discussion on vomiting by, you know, making sure we have a thorough veterinary exam and accompanied with some blood work. In a 10-year-old kitty, there are definitely a whole handful of different things that can cause some intermittent vomiting, from thyroid problems to inflammatory bowel disease to parasites, you name it. So there really could be a lot of different ways we can go here. So that would be the first place I would definitely start. But if from there, if we're talking about vomiting, that frequency is enough for me that would say we need to do something and we need to intervene in some way. So sometimes that may be as simple as a diet change. And while I like that you're feeding not an expensive food, but hopefully a better quality food, sometimes we'll go to a more of a hypoallergenic variety of diet. So that might be something like a rabbit-based food, venison-based food, or a more specialized low-fat type diet. Sometimes cats will respond better from one realm of diet to another. So that might be something to think about there. The other things for a kitty that's vomiting infrequently, you know, I like to do something as simple as a deworming, even if we don't see worms, because sometimes I've even had cats that have stomach worms. And stomach worms are actually kind of a worm that lives in a dog's stomach, but they don't shed in their cat's stomach, but doesn't shed into the stool. And that's something they can ingest from eating other types of critters like bugs and snails and you name it. So a good deworming protocol would be good. I like to use fenbendazole as my dewormer, so that's one you can kind of check with your veterinarian about that. For other vomiting tricks, I will pull out of my hat. I would like to use probiotics, just a nice natural bacterial supplement that helps to restore the digestive flora in the stomach. Uh-huh. Kitties and dogs can actually also have Helicobacter, which kind of tags along with gastric ulcers in people. And it's a little controversial whether or not that causes actual clinical vomiting, but we know that a lot of vomiting cats have this bacteria. So many times I'll also treat with an antibiotic for Helicobacter called metronidazole. So that's one other thing that I'll often do for kitties that are just kind of that occasional puker.
You know, I thought she was bulimic for a while because she does it almost immediately after she eats, and it comes out
dry almost, so it's not really too much of a mess to clean up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now, and if it's a matter that she is eating fast, some cats will do that. And just like dogs, we can try to slow them down by using the types of bowls that have little pegs in them where they have to kind of work to get the food. Or you can actually switch over to taking her food out of the bowl and putting it into a toy that dispenses the food. That'll do two things. It'll, one, give her something to do and occupy her mind, but it also slows down how fast she can eat her food. So you would want to make sure you limit the amount of food that goes in the bowl and alternate and put that instead into the dispensing toy. And that can be another way just to deal with that kitty that kind of does just cozy up to the old bowl and overdo it. And, you know, cats aren't intentionally bulimic. I think we'd like to think that sometimes the way they bring up these presents and put them in the most uncomfortable, wet places when you step out of bed. So,
right. Yeah. She did one time, she was asleep on top of me in the bed, and then she decided to, you know, she starts that hiccuping, ready to vomit. So
yeah.
I almost got her off in time.
Oh, gross.
Oh.
That sounds like a little bit of partying in Vegas going on there.
Yeah. I don't know how other cats are, but they like to sleep on your chest when you're on your back and dig in there and get comfortable, and then you can't move.
They're all like that. Doesn't matter what kind of cat they are.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, George.
Okay.
Appreciate it. I'm glad you like the joke.
I'll start using it in my practice. I'll tell you, boy, it'll really boost up sales here.
Well, I've had several operations, and so when I go in the OR and they give me the gas to put me out, I always tell that joke. And then I hear him laughing as I'm passing out, so I know they're not going to mess up too bad.
Thanks, George. We appreciate your call today, and thanks for listening to Animal Radio.
Do you have a home that you don't want anymore? We can buy it from you within 24 hours, any home, size, or condition. For over 20 years, we've been buying homes for cash and helping homeowners sell their homes immediately with no listings or strangers walking through your home. Are you moving? Did you lose your job? Going through a divorce? Whatever the reason, if you're in a bind and you know that you need to sell your house fast, call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. We'll make you a serious cash offer to buy your home in 24 hours and let you walk away from it. No listing, no waiting. Sell any home, any size, any condition, now. Call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. Make this free call now.
800-478-6084. 800-478-6084. 800-478-6084. That's 800-478-6084.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Hey, Scott, how you doing?
Fine. How are you guys?
Good. Where are you today?
I'm in Clinton, Iowa.
Clinton, are you listening on KROS? Is that KROS?
No, I didn't know they had it here in town. I listened to it on XM in the semi.
Oh, good. So you're an OTR?
Awesome. Yes.
Okay. Well, I got Doc Deb here. She's like, stop asking them their life story. Just...
I'm here to work. Come on now. What's going on there, Scott?
Well, I adopted a teacup chihuahua, a six-month-old one, in California here a couple weeks ago. And okay. My concern is I live in Iowa where it can get to 30 below in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just concerned about her well-being coming from a warm state to a colder climate.
Okay. Well, and for me, I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter what she's used to. As a teacup chihuahua, she is not a cold weather dog, no matter where she lives. I'd say it's impractical to expect that we're going to really acclimate her to cold temperatures. Chihuahuas in general, they just don't tolerate cold really well. That's why you see all those little cutesies walking around with those, you know, sweaters and fleeces and the hats and the gloves. Oh, wait, no, not all of that, but but that's why we dress these guys up, because they really don't have the body fat and the body size to really generate and to maintain their own body temperature in that extreme weather. So you're good to definitely be aware of that. that and to be watchful. So as far as the basic things, for a little teacup chihuahua or any chihuahua under 55 degrees, I really start to take extra measures. So that may be things like sweaters, fleeces, and actually I can tell you from my own experience with Boss, my little terrier mix, some of the best warming cover-ups, I mean, aren't necessarily just the knitted sweaters. They actually do make down jackets for dogs, and the fleeces are actually quite warm. So those are very nice, and Boss highly recommends them, I will tell you that. So those would be some basic things. Now, you also want to keep in mind the potty training for these little guys, because some of these little doggies are quite diva-like, and in snow weather, especially, you know, below zero weather, we need to make accommodations. So you want to think of that now while the weather is kind of in the temperate zone so you can plan. Some doggies will do great going outside as long as you keep that snow, you know, shoveled and you give them a clear path and they don't have to go outside their means to really go eliminate. But otherwise, well, you can train them inside on one of those little potty patches.
Well, she's pretty good about the pads, and I have a doggy door, and she goes out all the time. She loves her backyard.
Okay, good, good.
My main concern is, like, the pads on the bottom of her feet, you mm-hmm. know?
Sure, yeah. So with that, you can definitely... Yeah, you can definitely do doggy boots, or even just kind of the little slip-ons for them to go outside. You have to watch that. Yeah, those little feet with long periods of time on frozen surfaces definitely can get some frostbite. So you want to be aware of that. For you know, just kind of getting her acclimated to go outside in that, you're really, you know, carry her outside, put her down, let her do her biz, and carry her back in. That's going to be the best way to kind of gradually acclimate her to that. But if it's really extreme temperatures, something that it burns your face when you're going outside, I really would advocate using the booties just to protect those feet. And then, you know, other things I may not have mentioned, heated dog beds. Sometimes these little guys, even in Las Vegas winters, believe it or not, these little guys come in shivering when it's, you know, 40 degrees outside. So if you have a heated dog bed and she's, you know, not the type that might chew or destroy any of that type of thing, that can be a really great way to kind of keep them warm and to kind of reward them after they go outside to do their business.
There's something else I want to add.
She's got a nice warm water bed to sleep in.
Ooh, I like that.
Oh, wow. I want to talk about this other product that I just saw, and I actually got
Uh-oh.
A sample at Super Zoo.
Does it make noise?
No. It's called Comfy Tails, and it's K-U-M-F-Y.
What is that?
Tails, T-A-I-L-Z. What it is, it's a fleece jacket, but it has an insert. It's a gel pack. And what you can actually do is put it
in the
microwave. You heat this gel
without
pack.
Without the dog. You put it on before you put it on the dog.
Yeah. Don't
put
it. Good point, Hal. Very good, Hal.
You take the gel pack, you put it in the microwave for a few seconds, and then you insert it in this coat, and it goes underneath her belly, and then you wrap the coat around her, and it'll keep her warm outside for a long time. I got one for my little dog. She's 8 pounds and gets cold.
Not one of those frilly things, is it? All kinds of colors and pink. And
there's different colors,
fleece.
But okay. this gel pack is amazing.
That's a good product.
We already got one from PetSmart.
You do? Oh.
Yeah.
They're awesome.
My wife went shopping spree with her one day and bought a bunch of stuff.
You spoiled her.
Oh, yes.
Is this little one going to be traveling with you in the truck or staying at home?
Stay at home. I've got a pit bull boxer, and I got that I've called you about that had hip dysplasia. And your tips on that helped her.
Oh, fabulous.
That's the one that goes with me in the semi all the time. And then I got a purebred Irish pit bull.
Oh, well, we appreciate you being a follow-up and a frequent caller here, Scott. And give this little baby a good pat on the head. And you got a little time to get her acclimated before that cold winter chill comes. Thank God.
She's beating up on her teddy bears right now.
Well, thank you for your call, Scott. We appreciate it. We're all giddy here. Call back if you need any more help there. We always like to be of help. Because most people, let's face it, a lot of people call and say, you guys think you're know-it-alls, don't you? They do say that
to
us. I'll go into 7-Eleven.
They say that to you, Hal.
Maybe they do. They say, Hal, you're always trying to take credit for Dr. Debbie and Alan. What
Dr.
the hell?
Debbie, she needs her own segment called Dr. Debbie Unplugged.
Unplugged.
Oh, really?
Yeah, after your callers talk to you on the air, they go off the air, and your true Dr. Debbie self comes out.
So you're saying that I'm not myself on air. I'm too guarded.
No, no, you're like a doctor. You're doing your doctor business. But when you're being you, you know, the Dr. Debbie that we got to see at Super Zoo, that's a fun Dr. Debbie. That's the dark side of Dr. Debbie, the underbelly of Dr. Debbie.
You mean
Debbie.
After a couple of drinks is what you're saying.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
You're shattering my persona. Stop.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
How'd you like to eliminate your expensive cable bill forever or get new satellite internet where cable can't go? Well, now you can have affordable satellite internet service for a few dollars a day. All you need is a mini satellite installed, and you can have unlimited internet connections wirelessly in your home or office. And no cable boxes means unlimited connections and no clutter. You can surf the internet or stream any of your favorite television services with no cable. And the best part is, satellite internet service costs only a few dollars a day for your entire home. Yes, fast internet to surf or stream television for a few bucks a day. Call now for free details and learn how to drop your expensive cable bill.
800-696-2871. 800-696-2871. 800-696-2871. That's 800-696-2871.
This is an Animal Radio News Update.
I'm Stacey Cohen for Animal Radio. Well, there was a big surfathon. Where else do you think it happened but California? A dog surfing competition drew a few hundred dogs and their owners to Del Mar, California, but it was for a good cause. Organizers say the 7th annual surfathon was expected to bring in about $100,000 for education and adoption programs at the Helen Woodward Animal Center. At the end of the competition, 36 dogs attempted to establish a world record for the total number of canines that were riding the same wave at the same time. 14 of those dogs actually hung on. About 200 pigs were being transported to a slaughterhouse in central China, but they were granted a stay of execution after a highway crash in which the truck carrying them smashed into a truck carrying whiskey. Bacon and whiskey. What better things could you find on a freeway? It took workers in China's province 5 hours to clear the road of both the pigs and the smashed whiskey bottles. The pigs who did survive the initial smash-up, though, dashed into the nearby fields, and they found at least temporary freedom. There were crops planted alongside the road, so many of the pigs made straight for those crops, and they simply disappeared, according to a spokesman. A Colorado woman's been arrested on suspicion of animal cruelty after she allegedly shoved her Chihuahua puppy down her pants. The incident occurred during a domestic dispute in which police found Jonah Turner arguing with a man. According to the NBC affiliate KUSA in Denver, Turner had agreed to leave the premises but insisted on taking her dogs with her. Well, where else are you going to stuff a Chihuahua but down your pants? Police arrived. Eyewitnesses told them to search Turner's pants, and when they did, a Chihuahua fell out. The puppy was unharmed, but Turner was charged with one count of misdemeanor animal cruelty. She pleaded not guilty. The puppy was one of three born on August 31st. You know what? Maybe she was trying to save that puppy's life, and that was the best place to put it, because nobody wanted to go down her pants to find it. Who knows? All right. A homeowners association in Texas trying to collect samples of dog poop for DNA testing. This is happening all over. I think this is getting out of hand. The Homeowners Association says too many dogs are doing their business in common areas, and they want a database of DNA profiles. That way, future messes will be matched to the correct owners in the small condominium complex, who will then be fined. KXAN-TV reports a DNA testing company has agreed to test the poop for samples. Most neighbors seem to agree that the plan goes a little too far. One even joked that if the Homeowners Association gets its way, then maybe they'll start regulating our poop as well. That's a scoop on the poop. I'm Stacey Cohen. Get more animal breaking news at animalradio.com.
This has been an Animal Radio News Update. Get more at animalradio.com.
Well, you lucky dog, don't forget you can get your fix of Animal Radio anytime you want with the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android. It's made possible by fear-free happy homes, helping your pets live their happiest, healthiest, fullest lives at home, at the vet, and everywhere in between. Visit them at fearfreehappyhomes.com. And thanks, Fear Free, for underwriting Animal Radio.
Dogs or cats, horse or emu, animals are people too.
Leftover pizza can be a real treat, but leave the reheating to humans. Skylar, a golden retriever poodle mix from Chicago, tried to make a meal of the pizza her owner left on the stove, but ended up setting the house on fire. Skylar started the fire by trying to grab the pizza, pushing the pizza box near the burners, and turning the stove burner on with all the jumping and pizza grabbing. Firefighters found Skylar passed out from the smoke with her usually white coat pitch black from the soot. Medics used 3 canisters of oxygen to revive her, and now she's doing great. The house? Not so well. Damages from her pizza diving are estimated at around $50,000. I'm Britt Savage for Animal Radio.
Animals are people too. Animal Radio.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Here's Hal and Judy.
Of course, Wendy Diamond, brand new to the Animal Radio team, and we were hanging out in Las Vegas last week. All of us got to go out for dinner, and we really, at that point, discovered that Wendy always has her dog with her. You may not know it, but Baby Hope is always somewhere.
Wait, no, let's not say always. I don't want to think people to think I'm, you know, crazy. But my dog is not always with me, but tends to, you know, a lot of times, you know, I will have to admit she is with me, but not all the time. So I just want to clarify that.
I wanted to ask our animal communicator, Joy Turner, for Baby Hope's take on this, if you don't mind. Joy, what do you think?
Well, first of all, Wendy, she's laughing hilariously at you. She thinks you are just the funniest person in the whole world, and she says she is with you all the time. So don't be giving people the wrong impression that she doesn't get to be with you all the time.
What do you think about that?
Thank you, Joey.
She also says she wants to know what exactly is going on with her celebrity status, because she thinks she needs to be a bigger celebrity.
Oh, my God.
You're getting in the way, Wendy.
Well, listen, all I can say about this is, you know, Baby Hope's life has completely changed. She lived in the country before coming to New York City. And Baby Hope, you know, it's funny because when she first was in a car, she had such anxiety. You know, literally was like, you know, her tongue's hanging out. She's just like hyper, like going crazy. And actually, it's really sweet now. She gets in her bag. She doesn't mind. And the same thing with a plane. It is so odd because when I first brought her on a plane, we were going to Utah, and I have to say, I was like, oh, I could never travel with this dog. It's completely different than my last dog. And she bit through, not kidding, by the way, bit through her Sherpa bag.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
So what did you do, Wendy? How did you change the behavior? Because your dog is really mellow and cool now.
I have to say, what I did is I just spent the time. And so every time now, she knows when she's in that dog bag, she knows that it's a safe place and that she can be calm and I'm right there. So, for instance, now when she travels, she's like, it's like no problem. It is the weirdest thing, and it's the greatest thing, because I think she's just taken after my personality. So I think what happened at the beginning is she was her own person. She came from the country. She never experienced being in a car, because, you know, even when she was going to the vet came to them, I guess. And so she never was used to being in a car, never flew before. And now that she's been with me and she's kind of taken on my temperament.
You should be proud of yourself, Wendy.
She is actually very outspoken, Wendy. And she's assuming that your whole thought about what she's supposed to be doing is that she is going to be a bigger star than you.
Well, first of all, I have no interest in, you know, we don't have any interest in being a star. We love what we're doing. We have a ball doing what we're doing, and we know that we're making a difference in the world. And she actually is like the sweetest thing to everybody and the cutest thing to everybody. But I will have to say, she's 5 pounds heavier than my last dog.
What does she weigh?
It's not. Oh my gosh.
You're not supposed to ask that.
That's
rude.
That. Okay.
Yeah, that's rude.
You never ask a dog how much they weigh.
Thank God. Thank dog she doesn't speak English. So basically, yeah, she's 14 pounds. She is really heavy.
Yeah.
I only lift 10 pounds, so it has been a struggle. I have to go to the gym more. It's becoming a problem.
Ah.
And so, you know, it is an issue of bringing her around as much. So, but what I will say is she walks. I mean, we were just in New Mexico, and we did a llama trek for 5 miles, and she walked the entire way.
Oh,
wow.
Wow.
And this dog is a senior pet. This dog is 8 years old.
Is she really?
Yes. She's 8 years. I guess they bred her because, you know, she's a Coton de Tulier. They get like 5,000 a puppy. They bred her twice. She had two litters and then they gave up the mother.
Joy, what is it? Hello, Joy.
Did you lose her?
Yeah, that's two. I had important questions there.
From what Joy was saying, though, Wendy, your dog is just looking to become a star and then push you out of the way.
Please, I'd rather, you know, I would be a great momager.
A momager.
Wendy's
got
great words.
You know, like Tina
Lohan. Uh-huh. I like that
word. My gosh, did you see her? Who was she with? Dr. Phil. She was, like, imploding right on live TV.
All right, but I want to give, I know Dina Lohan personally, and I have to tell you, and I've been at the house. I've seen her with Lindsay. I've seen her with Dina. I really know her relationship with her children. Her children adore her. Adore. And she is actually a very, very sweet woman. I just feel like that whole Hollywood celebrity kind of gets in the way of a normal family. You know, to be honest, I just ran into her in the Hamptons. And
who is it you don't know?
A lot of people. My husband, wherever
he is.
Wendy,
can I just tell you, Wendy, I'd like to be your dog. You go on llama walks. You go to the Hamptons. I mean, I want to be a dog in your bag.
I know. That's what people say.
Well, we are trying to.
Let's just go back. I'd like to be my dog. It's not easy taking this, you know, doing all this stuff.
Well, not to mention that you're, you know, blabbing her age and her weight. I really wanted to find out what Joy had to say about that, but we've actually, we've lost her. She connects with us on Skype, and we've lost her today. Now it's all up to me. I know Ladybug. What? Oh, of course, Ladybug. Well, Ladybug's a little upset because Baby Hope's taken the spotlight. She used to be, you know, the dog.
No. Ladybug doesn't like to share.
Yeah. They got along pretty well, actually.
Baby gets along with everyone. And that, my last dog had no interest in any other dog. This one loves every other dog.
Now see, Ladybug's the opposite. She hates every other dog.
That was like lucky. She never had any interest in the other dog except one. She was in love with this Dachshund that lived over on Park Avenue. It was hysterical.
Ladybug doesn't hate the other dog. She's afraid, and we're gonna help you with that. She's just afraid of other dogs.
Ah, she is? Okay. Is that what it is?
Okay, we need to work on that.
We can work on that. Well, we're unable to connect with Joy, so if you want to talk, if you want anybody to talk to your animals, I can do it, right?
No, Hal, don't call for Hal. Don't call for Hal, please.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Hey, Eric and Rashi here, hosts of the CBS TV series Lucky Dog.
We're also the spokespeople for the 14th annual Get Your Licks on Route 66 Pet Adoption Tour, brought to you by Phyto Friendly Magazine.
The tour travels from Los Angeles to Chicago, stopping at shelters along the way to support adoption events.
Join us and show sponsor Chewy at the tour's kickoff event on Saturday, August 27th, where lots of great pets will be available for adoption.
To find out where the tour stops near you, log on to phytofriendly.com, and who knows, you just might find your new forever friend.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
It's toll-free from the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android. It's a free download, so go ahead and download it now. And there's been a few recalls this week. If you want to get the latest on the recalls, the app has them. All the latest news that actually affects your animals. Hey, Ronald, how you doing?
Okay, how you doing today?
Doing good. Where are you?
Montgomery, Pennsylvania.
Montgomery, Pennsylvania, checking in. I have Dr. Debbie here. How can we help you?
Hi.
Yes. Hi. I have a young Doberman Pinscher, and I'm an over-the-road truck driver. And while my wife was sick one week, he went with me. And now he thinks he wants to go every week. But I was wondering, being Dobermans have a history of hip problems,
mm-hmm.
If putting him in the truck, even, you know, with walking him, you know, regularly through the day, if it would cause any problems with that.
Oh, whether or not the traveling in the truck would hasten or make a bigger problem with potential hip dysplasia. That's your question?
Yes.
No, I don't believe that would. And in this situation, the only thing that I'd say sitting in the truck might have a potential for would be less exercise. So we wouldn't want his weight to get too heavy. So it would be more that risk. But no, hip dysplasia, what, you know, we would worry about sometimes is if a pet is in very active athletic activities, and if they have some tendencies towards hip dysplasia, then we might have some more issues there. But no, I mean, sitting in the truck, hanging out with his dad, I think that's a great plan. And, you know, just to combat any kind of boredom or problems with his exercise, you know, if he's in truck, you want to just make sure you give him that ample opportunity for physical exercise, you know, a little bit of mental stimulation. So, you know, maybe some retrieving, some toy play behaviors when you make your stops. All of that will kind of keep him physically fit. And I don't see any problems with riding along with your side. If he likes it, then hey.
Looks like you got the A-OK, Ronald.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you for your call today. Hey, Ken, how are you doing?
Hey, we're doing good. How are you doing this fine day?
Good. Where are you calling from?
Oh, we're calling from Colorado.
I love Colorado. That's my hometown is Colorado.
Oh, whereabouts?
I was born and raised in Denver, Colorado. And now,
oh, okay.
Now I have a southern drawl that I just didn't have 30 seconds ago.
But, oh, where'd that come from?
What's going on, Ken?
Oh, nothing. You know, I was listening to a driver last week, and I listen to your radio as I'm normally working on Sunday. I'm a truck driver, and I have a dog that travels with me. And I hear other dogs, you know, with trucks out there also. But my main concern is I have a corgi that runs around with me in my truck. He's been on the truck for almost 3 years. You know, I took him back here a couple of weeks ago to get, you know, his checkup and everything. Uh-huh. And his enzymes in his liver was a little high.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
And the doctor was thinking he ingested something. And I'm like, well, you know, I got him on a pretty good leash all the time. And he's, you know, he's never really into anything. And we kind of narrowed it down to when she found out where he is walking around truck stops and like Ooh. Rest areas, and there's a lot of overspray of pesticides in the area that I run, you know, with farmlands and stuff, and they lick their paws and they actually ingest it that way.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of that, Dr. Depp?
You know, there's a couple of steps you can do. Is number one, always watch where you walk your dog, especially at a truck stop if there's oil on the ground. You know, they ingest it through that way. It's like getting a little pair of booties for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I was just going to say, that would be exactly the first thing I would do is put little booties on these guys when you got them out walking.
Exactly, and especially with the mag chloride that they're putting down now with the winter months coming in, you know, for the ice melt or the salts that they put down. And,
mm-hmm.
and
so his liver enzymes are back to normal now?
Yes, everything is back Good. To normal. He's fine. And I would just love to tell the other drivers out there, really keep an eye out where you walk your dog.
Doc, what about those sanitary wipes that they do for pets that you can wipe their paws? How effective
what, is
are
that
those?
Any good?
Well, it might be something you can try short of the booties. But really, a lot of times it's really kind of hosing them off and really getting all the particulates and the things off the skin surface. That can be tough in a really furry dog foot. So it might be something you can try. And I do have some clients that will do that, mostly because of not just, you know, pesticides and things like that, but just environmental allergens. So some dogs have grass allergies. So coming in from outdoors, you know, we may wipe their feet down with a damp towel or with a dry bath wipe or something like that. Yeah, it depends a bit on our concern level. I'd say for Ken's purposes, gosh, I would be super vigilant. I think the booties would be the way to go when he's out in the kind of unknown areas. But yeah, some of those sprays they put down for devegetation, you know, along the roadsides, you know, they can be some interesting stuff.
Well, so I got to think, even at the truck stops there where there's oil on the ground and antifreeze and all kinds of crap on the ground from the trucks.
You got it. You got it.
Yeah,
and,
I never thought about that until we had them tested. And now I'm like, you know, my dog has walked, you know, we walk basically the same areas all the time. But now it's, you know, he's literally
and booties.
And your baby, you know, as far as some of the challenges with folks that truck is that, you know, your dog is going through a lot of environments. So parasites, you know, definitely a huge concern going across country, heartworm, internal parasites, and these different environmental toxins. We may not always know what we're going through in some of the areas. So I think it does raise some awareness just to fellow drivers out there to really be vigilant with your little ones.
Everybody that's ever seen him, I mean, he is the perfect corgi. You know, but this dog here, even my vet is like, wow, he's the healthiest dog I ever seen.
Mm. It must be because you listen to Animal Radio. You're getting all these great tips, huh?
Oh, yeah, I love it, you know, and I really just discovered you a couple of weeks ago.
Wow.
You know, and I listened to you a while back, but then I was off the road on the weekends, and now I'm on the road on the weekends, so I always tend to tune you in.
I thank you for listening. I appreciate it. And welcome back. And give your corgi a big old hug from all of us here at Animal Radio.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Do you have a home that you don't want anymore? We can buy it from you within 24 hours, any home, size, or condition. For over 20 years, we've been buying homes for cash and helping homeowners sell their homes immediately with no listings or strangers walking through your home. Are you moving? Did you lose your job? Going through a divorce? Whatever the reason, if you're in a bind and you know that you need to sell your house fast, call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. We'll make you a serious cash offer to buy your home in 24 hours and let you walk away from it. No listing, no waiting. Sell any home, any size, any condition, now. Call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. Make this free call now.
800-478-6084. 800-478-6084. 800-478-6084. That's 800-478-6084.
He said, we're all across the USA, the most listened to pet show today. Animal Radio, we're everywhere you go. Animal Radio. Animal Radio.
This hour, the incredible Dr. Pohl will be joining us from Nat Geo Wild. Encourage you to stick around for that. And, it looks like we just did that. That just came in on Facebook. Oh, wow. Somebody asking us at facebook.com/animal radio about their morning puker. And I don't think they're not talking about Ryan Seacrest. it's a different morning puker. But they have a morning puker. And I guess, is that something common or normal? What's that all about?
You know, it actually is very common. So there's a lot of folks that notice that their doggy in the first couple hours of the morning wake them up with a nice yellow vomit mess. Ew. And it typically only happens in the morning. So there is actually a syndrome. We call it bilious vomiting syndrome. And it only happens in the morning, this yellow gunky fluid. And it is something that we can definitely help. So I would tell the listener that we would want to make sure that we feed the pet at night. Often this will occur in a pet that only eats once a day. So if we spread up a second meal, usually right before bedtime, that can help. And then you might also consider sometimes we'll use antacids or some medicines to help with motility and moving things through. But even sometimes just switching to a low-fat, high-fiber diet can really make a difference and help in prevent this. Mm. But you're not crazy. This really happens. There's really a syndrome. And these guys are really, disturbed by it. You may hear some noises in their tummy, a little bit of excessively, but it's usually that yellow gunk.
Yeah, that happens with me with some of the ladies that I bring home in it. Yeah. I'm just saying.
TMI.
Too much information. Hey, Wendy, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Hi, Dr. Debbie.
Well, hi, what's going on?
Well, I've had two cats. They get along relatively well. They don't hate each other. They don't love each other. They tolerate each other. However, it seems like around August or September, one of the cats, male cat is neutered, starts spraying the floor and the couch. Primarily, actually, I need to bring this up, where he sprays is primarily where my husband sits. My husband is not the primary caregiver I am. My husband's a little more aggressive, bigger guy. And so I'm just wondering if it has something to do with my husband or a territorial between the two cats or something else.
Is anything, if there's a season change to this, when you're noticing, is there anything else changing in the home? Are there household schedules changing? Do you have kids coming or going? Work schedules changing?
No, nothing like that. Just the two of us.
Okay. Because that would be hard. If there were some changes, like often I will see cats that will do this kind of back to school. You know, kids go back to school for the fall semester, and the whole household dynamics have changed. So we may see some elimination problems as a result of that. So it is possible that he is in some way, you know, trying to mark your husband or your husband's territory. So that might be kind of an intriguing angle that I would start with first. Especially if he's not a real catty person, you know, like he's not a cat lover, he's a dog lover, then we might actually turn over a lot of the pet care to him when it comes to feeding. So instead of having an open food bowl out, I would ask your husband very nicely to feed the kitties twice a day. They may have food at other times, but we want to have that be the majority of the food presentation is by him, to see if that can help in some ways. But then we've got to deal with some of the other structural things here. If it is a particular area that they're working on, then there's a couple of things I would do. One would be I tried to make the area unappealing for the kitty to either approach or to mark on. So double-sided sticky tape is one of my favorite things for the kitties that kind of come up along, because oftentimes they're going to kind of scratch on the area first, rub on it. So that will be one thing to kind of keep them off the area. Or the static mats, the kind of the shock mats. Those two can kind of keep them away from the area. And even I've had some luck with the compressed air, the motion activated compressed air, to keep the kitties away from that area, just to break that cycle so we don't have that repetition of the behavior. The more that the kitty is marking and urinating there, that's kind of perpetuating that behavior for the future. So we've got to stop that there, and then make sure we're also not missing anything that's changing in the environment. You know, whether it's a change in the traffic flow to the litter box. So adding extra litter boxes, taking covers off, and I switch out the different types of the litters as well. And then, you know, sometimes even kitty pheromones can kind of help to kind of calm kitties. So I'll put those in the same room where the couch is at. The other thing you can try is sometimes plastics or aluminum foil are just kind of make bad sounds when cats pee on them. So it can also be a way to keep them away from those that are a little bit kinder and gentler methods.
Yeah, he's actually learned to take the foil off the couch. He kind of goes around it and then pees on it.
Oh, my gosh, you have a thinker there.
Only thing I want to add, though, maybe, and I've been telling my husband as we go round and round, is one of the cats, Angel, who's a good cat, she likes to play chase. He'll go behind her and chase her up the stairs. She loves it. The other cat, Petey, who's the problem cat, my husband does that with him. I'm telling him he doesn't like it. I can just see the look in his eyes like my husband's trying to be domineering. And So I told my husband, if you stop doing that, maybe he'll stop peeing on that area. Mm-hmm. My husband doesn't believe that because the cat comes to him, sits on his lap. But then when it's time to leave the room and go to bed, my husband will start this, let's go to bed, and kind of push the cat with his foot.
Well, and I'd say if the kitty's body language is that he does not enjoy that, his, you know, he's not, his tail is swishing back and forth, his ears are down,
he just kind of looks, he starts walking forward, but you can see he's not real thrilled about it. Like the other cat's like, oh, yes, let's play chase, let's go run up the stairs, and she's all happy. And the other cat's like, you know, a child that you're telling him to go to bed, and the kid's like, no, I want to stay up, not going to bed now.
Uh-huh.
Petey is trying to tell him that. And I said, just leave him alone, just go upstairs, and then, you know, he'll be up later kind of thing. And that's kind of what started it. He had it stopped for about a month, and then he stopped peeing. Then he did it again, and now the cat's peeing again, and he refuses to believe that he's the instigator of this problem.
Okay, I'll solve this problem, Wendy. You can tell him the doctor said he has to stop this behavior.
Good. I wish I had a tape of this, because he'll probably say, oh, you know, this cat should do what I tell him to do because I'm the master of the house.
Yeah,
exactly.
Have you thought of getting rid of your husband?
Oh, jeez, Hal.
So
Sometimes, I don't know. You know, he gets to be like a stubborn cat, like a big tiger that you can't train.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing, if your husband does want to make this some kind of a nighttime plaything, let's try to get something else involved rather than it just be him chasing the cat. If we can get a kind of a crinkle ball, something else that makes a kind of cool sound. If it's a cat treat, a box that you can shake, kind of have him change the game slightly. So it's not so antagonizing and it's something more rewarding for the kitty. Because that's all we need to do. Cats, you know, to motivate them, we just got to understand what they really want. And what they want is what they want. Maybe
exactly.
Food
and
one moment.
They want it and they want to do, you know, they don't want you to tell them when they're supposed to do something.
You got it.
I've had cats for 20 some years, so I know their behavior. But this one is the only one that's been peeing and spraying. And I've, you know, getting to the point where it's just every day you have to mop the floor unless he's telling me your housekeeping is not good, which is possible. The floor is mopped every day. I'm just kind of over it.
Well, I think we need to do some of those little deterrents for the areas and then work on training the husband. If that is continuing, then give me a follow-up call and we can try to work through some other issues there, maybe with the husband and maybe with the environment as well.
All righty. Well, thank you so much for taking my call.
Yes, by all means.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Hi, it's Alan Cable with another dog tip. You're not going to believe what happened to me. I got bit by a dog yesterday in the park. Yeah, I'm just minding my own business, running. This lady's coming at me with two dogs, no leash. I run by, the dog sneaks up behind me, jumps up on my forearm, takes a nice chunk out of there. And she still doesn't put the dog on a leash. Joke's on the dog, though. He's going to get sick from me. I don't know what was up with this woman after the dog had his way with my arm. She still didn't put him on a leash. There were two of them, and just like a pack, one circled behind me to try to attack from there, while the bigger one confronted me in the front. Now, the woman was just yelling and screaming. Dogs are not paying any attention to her, because they're fraught with anxiety and fear. So what conclusions would you get from this? Well, first of all, the dogs are not socialized at all. They're not used to being around people, and when they get around people that they don't know, they become aggressive. They think that they have to protect their pack, which, of course, is the woman. Dogs like this should never be allowed off leash, especially in a park. It could have just as easily been a kid on a bicycle or a woman with a baby carriage. Now, it's not the dog's fault. It's the owner's fault. Please, if you're going to get a dog, it's your responsibility to educate yourself and find out what they need to be happy, well-adjusted animals and how to give it to them. It's only fair. You don't want to lock your dogs away from people because they're unpredictable and may bite. If you're thinking of getting a dog, write this down. Socialization, structure, exercise, and affection. These are the four basic needs that dogs have besides food. If you get a puppy, bring the dog around as many kids and people as possible. Other dogs, too. If you get an older dog, you should be doing the same thing, unless that dog is filled with anxiety and fear like this woman's was. In that case, you're going to need some help from an experienced animal behaviorist who can show you how to socialize the dog. And it's going to take a little work, confidence, and patience on your part. But with a professional, a commitment from you, consistent, fair leadership, and time, most dogs can be socialized and changed into happy, calm, well-adjusted animals.
Dogs or cats, horse or emu, animals are people too.
Ever wonder why cats purr? Well, a purr is just one of the many sounds a cat makes to communicate with other cats, humans, and anyone else who will listen. Sometimes purring is heard in a severely ill or anxious cat, but typically a purr is a sign of cat contentment. Kittens first begin purring as they nurse, and domesticated cats continue to purr when pet. Each cat has its own distinct purr, but just how they make that sound is pretty mysterious. One study says it's air passing through the diaphragm in spasms. Another says it's all in the voice box. But everybody agrees cats love to purr, and we love it when they do. I'm Britt Savage for Animal Radio.
Animals are people too. Animal Radio.
Hi, Joanne Worley on Animal Radio. Hello. And please spay and neuter your pets. Be a responsible pet owner. As a matter of fact, spay and neuter your friends' pets also. Give it to them as a present. What a good idea.
Do you have a home that you don't want anymore? We can buy it from you within 24 hours, any home, size, or condition. For over 20 years, we've been buying homes for cash and helping homeowners sell their homes immediately with no listings or strangers walking through your home. Are you moving? Did you lose your job? Going through a divorce? Whatever the reason, if you're in a bind and you know that you need to sell your house fast, call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. We'll make you a serious cash offer to buy your home in 24 hours and let you walk away from it. No listing, no waiting. Sell any home, any size, any condition now. Call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. Make this free call now.
800-478-6084, 800-478-6084, 800-478-6084, that's 800-478-6084.
I'm Beth Stern on Animal Radio, and adopt from your local shelter.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
A Colorado woman's in a little bit of trouble for stuffing a chihuahua down her pants. She's actually been charged with animal cruelty, but she pleaded not guilty. I'll tell you why she did it coming up on Animal Radio News.
Ah, very good. Dr. Pohl will be joining us today, the incredible Dr. Pohl from Nat Geo Wildlife. He deals with a lot of cow pies. We're so stupid. Thanks for listening. We apologize for any brain damage you may get during Animal Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, we are so glad to have Wendy Diamond with us. She joined us last week.
So Wendy, when you go out on a date, do you bring the dog with or do you leave the dog at home so you can get to know the guy? Because that dog is glued to you. It's like an appendage.
Velcro.
Well, let's just say this. I've only had Baby Hope for 3 months. Okay, number one. Number two is, you know, there's been times where I've been late. I'd be coming from work and I have my dog with me and I might take my dog, but they would never know I had the dog. Do you know what I'm saying?
What the?
So, like, I wouldn't...
Wait. You would take the dog on a date, and your date would never know that you had the dog with you? Is that what you're saying?
Never know. Whoa. Yeah, there's been many times like that. And also, I have to say this. I would never introduce my dog to a date until I felt like that person was going to be part of my life.
Yeah, that makes sense. So what did you do before Baby Hope? Because it just seems like you two have been together for years.
I had a dog that passed away on June 5th.
Oh,
and
I'm sorry.
Lucky and I were together for over a decade. And it was kind of the exact same relationship.
Well, now you hold the world's record, or Lucky holds the Guinness World's Record of the dog most photographed with celebrities, right?
That is correct. That is correct. And that's because of my job is, you know, I have a couple of jobs, but I'm, you know, very much a supporter of a lot of different charities, work with the United Nations. So I'm always around a lot of very famous people. And it all started, you know, back in 2001 when I was at a dinner with Hugh Grant and Sandra Bullock and Valentino, the designer. And, you know, my dog was, again, hidden in my bag. No one knew I had my dog. And I was, you know, I felt really surreal. I was sitting at dinner with these people, and I thought to myself, this is so funny. No one would believe I'm here, right?
It's kind of cool, and right? So, it's like a dirty little secret.
Like, well, no one would. Well, it's kind of like, Siri, I'm sitting across from Hugh Grant, Sandra Bullock. And, you know, I'm from Ohio, so I felt like really like, wow, no one would ever believe me. But, like, dessert, people were kind of walking around, and I looked at Hugh Grant, and I said, Hugh, my dog is your biggest fan. Can you take a picture? And he looked at me, and he's like, you have a dog here? And I'm like, yeah. And I pull out my dog, and I take a picture of him and Hugh. And the next thing I know, like, Valentino's like, oh, my God, I have three dogs. And the next thing I know, he wants a pic. So that's how Who Got Lucky started. And Who Got Lucky was the sexy part of our magazine. That was a column where kind of where was Lucky and who did she get lucky with? And that's how that all happened.
Awesome.
So we didn't try to get a Guinness World Record. We didn't try to do anything. It was just kind of this funny thing that just kind of happened.
Well, now how many celebs did Lucky get a photo with?
Oh, God, probably like 700.
Holy
That's so
moly.
Cool.
Now, is Baby Hope going to be setting her own world records?
Any plans there?
Well, Baby Hope already has a world record.
What is that?
Baby Hope has a Guinness World Record for the most expensive pet wedding in history.
Yeah. Oh, okay,
that's right.
That's right. Yeah. That was Hope. Okay.
How much did that wedding cost, by the way?
Like $300,000, but it was all donated because it was a benefit for the Humane Society. My dog, Lucky, has a wing at the Humane Society of New York. It's the Lucky Diamond Critical Ward Unit, and we raise money for animals that can't afford, you know, surgeries, so that's where the money went.
Wow. I have a wing cool. down at yeah. the local donut joint, Dunkin' Donuts.
He's got his own booth, Memorial Wing.
Well, you know, and also, I just, you know, I don't want to brag or anything, but I also have a Guinness World Record.
Oh, yeah? What is it?
So biggest have, blue
so
eyes.
My family has three Guinness World Records.
Wow. Really?
I have a personal Guinness World Record for the longest curtsy relay.
Curtsy relay.
Yeah, my mother's from England, so I was brought up really well, and I was taught how to curtsy at a young age. And one night, there was a little dinner for or party for the mayor of London, and next thing I know, we're all curtsying for like hours.
Oh my gosh!
And we got a curtsy out of it.
How old were you?
Got a Guinness World Record.
How old were you?
Oh, this was like last year.
Oh.
Wow. Wow, that's pretty okay. cool,
so this
man.
Is all like become like so. Now I'm an expert at Guinness World Records.
So what are the other ones that your family has?
Oh no! We only have three.
Just three.
Oh, three. Okay.
Just three.
And what do you have, Judy? What kind of records do you have, Judy? I mean, you're asking. Only three.
Oh, by the way, we're going to be in the Guinness World Record book this year.
Oh, yeah? For the wedding.
It's the biggest book. You know, it does 20 million copies a year.
Yeah.
And so, no, this year's book will be basically the one with Lucky, who got lucky. So it'll be her with like Kim Kardashian, her with Richard Branson, her with Kristen Stewart, you know, who's in trouble these days.
Yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
that will be, so she will be there with those celebrities. And then next year, Baby Hope will be in the Guinness World Record book as well for her wedding.
Okay, Ladybug, we got That's a lot of catching cool. up to
we
do.
A lot of work. Ladybug can get in there.
Yeah.
Ladybug can go through the
Ladybug,
most expensive
yeah,
pet
Ladybug
divorce.
Can, no, no. So our next one we're going to do is the biggest dog tea party. And, of course, Ladybug better be there.
She's invited. Did you hear that, Ladybug?
You know, we gotta mount macho this up. We need a macho record. Tea party? Dog tea party? We need something macho.
Well, can I tell you something?
She's excited.
Think about how cute this is. Well, look at Honest Kitchen came out with the dog tea. So what we're going to do is dog tea, people tea, dog treats, people treats. It's going to be the most beautiful tea party for dogs.
Do we have
ever
to dress our dogs up and put, you know, paint their nails and put them in little, I know
no,
Judy likes to do the frills.
Nothing inhumane. It's
okay.
But of course, because it's going to be a charity event, we ask that you do dress up and you dress up for a tea party. So we'd like you to be in dresses, even the men. Beautiful.
Yes, and guys, when you come in, they'll sprinkle rose petals and estrogen on your head.
Well, probably most of the guys will be gay.
And if they're not when they go in, they will when they get out.
Hi, this is Jamie Farr, and you're listening to the Animal Radio Network. And remember to spay and neuter your pets.
How'd you like to eliminate your expensive cable bill forever or get new satellite internet where cable can't go? Well, now you can have affordable satellite internet service for a few dollars a day. All you need is a mini satellite installed, and you can have unlimited internet connections wirelessly in your home or office. And no cable boxes means unlimited connections and no clutter. You can surf the internet or stream any of your favorite television services with no cable. And the best part is, satellite internet service costs only a few dollars a day for your entire home. Yes, fast internet to surf or stream television for a few bucks a day. Call now for free details and learn how to drop your expensive cable bill.
800-696-2871. 800-696-2871. 800-696-2871. That's 800-696-2871.
This is an Animal Radio News Update.
I'm Stacey Cohen for Animal Radio. A Rhode Island woman's allegedly foul-mouthed cockatoo is being accused of ruining her neighbor's quality of life. But wait till you find out who her neighbors are. According to the Boston Herald, Lynn Taylor is scheduled to return to court next week to fight allegations that she violated a city animal noise ordinance. Taylor's neighbors are her ex-husband, Craig Fontaine, and his girlfriend, Kathleen Melker. Says Taylor that she trained her pet bird, Willie, to yell curse words at them. In fact, Fontaine says that Willie's fondness for four-letter words has forced them to put their home on the market and find a new place to live. Well, you know what? When you move next to your ex-wife, what do you think's going to happen? But even if Taylor and Willie are found guilty of the violation, their lives probably won't be affected too much. The ordinance only carries a $15 fine. An Ohio woman says her pet cat had no intention whatsoever of letting her visit the happiest place on earth without him. Ethel Mays tells the Orlando Sentinel that Bob, her 14-month-old feline, managed to sneak into one of her bags undetected as she geared up for a few days at Disney World. He even got through airport security and took the flight from Columbus to Orlando. Mays says she had no idea that Bob was in her bag. What if she just called him Bob? Would the cat still come? Until she unzipped it at the hotel at the end of the 10-hour trip. And while the cat appeared a little shaken up from his journey, Mays says Bob still came out purring. You know what? People have some strange names for their animals. Isn't it amazing? Bob. Anyway, all right. That's the latest. I'm Stacey Cohen. Get more animal breaking news at animalradio.com. Here, Bob. Here, Bob.
This has been an Animal Radio News Update. Get more at animalradio.com.
You feel better, Alan?
I feel much better.
Let's see. We're going to go. We have all these calls. Okay. Instead of, we're going to go to Dr. Paul. We have Dr. Paul.
Yes,
okay.
We do.
This is great. We love this show. It's on Animal Planet, The Incredible Dr. Paul.
No.
I'm sorry. Is it National Geographic?
Correct.
Yeah, you know what?
It's on Nat Geo Wild.
I get them mixed up. I'll be real honest with you.
Well, don't get them mixed up, I tell you.
You know what I love about your program is you are really hardcore veterinarian. I mean, you're out dealing with the farm animal. You probably deal with a dozen different kinds of animals a day.
Well, maybe that close, yes, but yes, a lot of different ones.
What is the strangest animal you've ever had to deal with?
Strangest. Well, what people now have as pets are these, what do you call them? These Dutch European porcupines, and they call them.
Wow.
Oh, what do you call them? I forgot. Anyway,
you know,
those are nocturnal animals, and I don't know how you can have them as pet.
Are you talking about the sugar glider? Is that what it is?
No, the sugar glider is one of those tiny little ones, but those are not too bad.
Oh, a hedgehog?
Somebody has a porcupine.
Now you're talking.
There you go.
Yeah.
First of all, Dr. Debbie told me the difference between a farm vet and a veterinarian like her is the size of their arm.
Yeah. yes,
you remember that, Al.
The doctor's hand has been where no hand has been before.
Yes.
Right, yes. I started very young, to be honest with you. I was born and raised on a dairy farm.
Okay.
And when I was 12 years old, the local veterinarian picked me up and took me to my brother's place to help deliver piglets. And, you know, 12-year-old, I was tall and skinny, and I could reach up to my shoulders in those little gills, and he could not even get his hand through. Like you said, the old-fashioned farm veterinarian with big arms.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Is that when you said, I love this career and I want to do this for a living?
Yeah, I thought that was fun.
Fun?
You know, maybe not as much fun as other things, but yeah, it was fun doing it.
Now, Dr. Paul, as a mixed animal veterinarian, do you find that like the cat and dog owners are crazier than the horse owners, or is that just something?
Oh, yeah. It all depends. It's the animal traders that get me.
Ooh.
You know, the owners are not always bad. You know, horse owners, yeah, you know, they like their animals. But it's the horse traders. Because when I was in college, they taught us how to guess an animal's age on their teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, nobody knows it anymore. And you should see the wool they pull over the buyer's eyes with, you know, ages of horses and, oh, I got the papers to prove it. Yeah.
Oh.
But, no.
So they're not really honest. They're not very honest. And for them, it's the animals are really property for them.
Yes.
They're money.
You know, whenever
money in their pocket if they get $100 more.
Yeah. Well, whenever money's involved, you know that there's always going to be trouble there.
Yeah, and that's why I keep saying all the time, too, you know, farmers are not abusing their animals. Because you abuse an animal, what does it do? It quits producing.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, so, no, they're not abusing their animals. Yeah, they may kick them every so often if they don't want to get out of the way. But that doesn't hurt a cow.
No.
It hurts my foot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The abuse comes from people And this is why I push for age so much. It seems like people that have not grown up with animals from a very young age, that are the ones that don't know how to treat them, and that's the ones that actually get crazy with the animals and eventually people.
Sure. Yeah.
Now, why wasn't there a need for practicing veterinarians in the Netherlands? Don't they need vets?
Yeah, but there were way too many.
Are there?
Too many?
Oh, yeah. I won't say how many years ago, but long time ago, like a good fairy tale, when I started veterinary school in 1962, there were 300 aspiring veterinarians in a room that only would fit 100.
Wow.
And there were only three cows in the whole country.
No, a few more. But anyway, they told us, you want to become a veterinarian? Fine. You want to practice? Forget it.
Wow.
And I says, I want to be with the animals.
So you came to the United States?
Yes.
You're also a car collector, too. You have a DeLorean?
Yes.
And a Rolls Royce? And
yes.
That's it's interesting that you like cars and you love animals. You don't see too
much. I always go for the unusual. You know, the Rolls Royce, they don't make them anymore. The DeLorean, they don't make them anymore. And the other one, that the fast car I have, is a Plymouth Prowler. They don't make them anymore.
The Plymouth Prowler?
Huh.
Yes.
I remember that car.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the retro 1935 Roadster. And he goes,
Now, who's the maniac with the pet porcupine, though? You never told us who that guy is.
Who's that?
The guy with the pet porcupine. Does he like to get hurt?
Hedgehog.
Hedgehogs. No, they don't.
A hedgehog.
Those are kids. And those little, you know, hedgehogs are kind of cute.
But, absolutely. You know,
they do
I
not,
see them all the,
the
I
nice
see them
thing
all the time.
The hedgehogs do not lose their needles. They don't come off.
Right. And they can be quite cuddly and affectionate,
yeah,
too.
And in
I
a way, they're cuddly, and you really have to be careful how to handle them. But you can roll them around in your hand like a magic ball or whatever. And every so often, yeah, they unroll, and then, you know, if they have a treat, then they'll unroll, and you look at them.
Cuddly?
How big are they?
They fit in the palm of your hand.
I want one.
You can have one. Oh, yeah.
But you can't have one. You got to have two. They're like potato chips.
Yeah.
I don't know. It takes two hands to handle one.
How has the television show changed your life?
It has completely flabbergasted me because this is my regular work. I don't see anything abnormal or fantastic in it, but the reaction I've gotten from people, and my wife and I have gotten many calls that say, oh, this is so nice. The last one we had was from a lady out of Kentucky, a grandma whose grandkids have never been on the farm. And she says, I grew up on the farm, and I tried to explain to them how the farm animals work and what they look like. And she says, they don't get it because I'm talking to them. Now they see this show, and they say, see, that's where I grew up. And that is just fantastic for her.
Wow. Yeah, but having that nasty film crew around all the time, are they asking you to, you know, do that surgery again? We didn't catch it the first...
No, that's the whole secret in this show.
Ah.
You know, it's not what you see is what you get. No, what we get is what you see. Nothing is rehearsed, nothing. And the better the very first take is better the right one because I'm not putting the calf back in the cow to pull it out again.
Yeah, I'd like to see you do that.
Yeah,
right.
I don't think the mom would let you do that either.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
That'd be a good ratings buster, though.
Yeah, it would. Everybody would tune into that one.
Yeah.
My mom tried to do that to me 4 times.
Yeah. Sorry about that, Alan.
Yeah, right.
It is a great show. The Incredible Dr. Pohl, Saturdays on Nat Geo Wild.
Correct.
Not Animal Planet, Nat Geo Wild, which really has much better programming than Animal Planet.
Oh,
I can say that because check it out. And Dr. Pohl, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're very welcome. Nice talking to you.
Have a great week.
Thank you. And I hope everybody enjoys the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, good night.
Bye now. There you go.
He's so cute.
He is a cute guy.
Have you
guy.
Seen the show, Dr. Debbie?
You know, I've caught that on just an occasion. I haven't been able to sit down and watch a whole one through, but yes, I've seen it.
You would like funny. It. It has a lot of gross stuff, and I know you like gross stuff.
You know what? I forgot. I was going to ask him about the smells, because large animal smells take things to a whole new realm.
You love smells.
Small animals.
You love
smells. I love
how
Debbie gets excited about it,
she
too.
She does.
Ask him about the smells.
Check out Animal Radio highlights, all the good stuff without the blah, blah, blah. Browse on over to animalradio.pet.
How'd you like to eliminate your expensive cable bill forever or get new satellite internet where cable can't go? Well, now you can have affordable satellite internet service for a few dollars a day. All you need is a mini satellite installed, and you can have unlimited internet connections wirelessly in your home or office. And no cable boxes means unlimited connections and no clutter. You can surf the internet or stream any of your favorite television services with no cable. And the best part is, satellite internet service costs only a few dollars a day for your entire home. Yes, fast internet to surf or stream television for a few bucks a day. Call now for free details and learn how to drop your expensive cable bill.
800-696-2871. 800-696-2871. 800-696-2871. That's 800-696-2871.
We caught up with Dr. John Howe, certified aquatic veterinarian at the American Veterinary Medical Association convention in Denver. Dr. Howe does surgery on fish.
We take them out of the water, we put them in a bath that has the anesthetic in it, and we set them on a form so they're laying in the position we want them to, and we run a tube with water being pumped out of the anesthetic water into their mouth, flowing over the gills, so that keeps them anesthetized.
There's more at avma.org. That's avma.org.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
It's Animal Radio.
Hi, this is Maureen Hyman. I'm a vet here in Bakersfield.
Maureen, you're a vet in Bakersfield. Lovely Bakersfield.
Oh, yeah.
How can we help you? What's up? Did we say something wrong? Are you
calling? No, not this time. No, I was just curious if Joey could help me figure out how to appropriately hand strip my Airedale.
Hand strip? What does hand strip mean?
Hand stripping is a method that's used by mainly terriers, but a lot of breeds. And what it does, it brings the texture of the coat in harder. So, like, if you have a wire-coated, let's just use wired-haired terrier, because everyone knows that phrase and that type of dog. And you want them almost to feel like steel wool. Well, there's a process to this, and it's actually a very natural process. But let me ask you, how old is your Airedale?
I have a 2-year-old dog and a 7-year-old bitch. I've hand stripped them their whole life. I've never clipped them. I just don't know if I'm quite doing it correctly.
Well, the key is this: hand stripping is almost—it's very close to tweezing, where you cannot break the coat. You have to pull it out, and you have to get it out at the root. And you have a tool, which is a stripping knife, which I'm sure that you have a stripping knife, correct?
Yes, I have a whole set. Yes.
Wonderful. And basically what you're going to do is, with if you're righty, with your left hand, hold the skin tight in front of where you're stripping the coat. Now, basically, the motion is grab the hair between your pointer finger and your thumb and slide it over the coat. So it's almost going to be like a pinching motion, where I'm grabbing coat and I'm going to pull straight back using my elbow, not twisting my wrist. When I twist my wrist, I will cut the coat. Now, what happens, for the people who don't know, when you cut coat that's not supposed to be cut, it grows back differently. It grows back softer. The natural process is what you're trying to create. So what you're trying to do is simulate how the dog would basically naturally shed out its coat. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pull out a combination of top coat and undercoat, because any dog that requires stripping is a double-coated dog. They have a top coat and they have an undercoat. The top coat is what you're trying to bring in stronger. So basically what I'm trying to do is I'm going to pull it out until it's nice and flat. Groomers, basically, when somebody goes through the groomer every 4 to 6 weeks, it's not the proper way to hand strip. Hand stripping should be done on a continuous base, even as much as every day. And what you'll do is you'll pick at areas, because some areas will be ready to come out. Now, how do I know if it's ready to come out? It should come out smoothly. It shouldn't hurt the pet. If it hurts the pet, I know breeders sometimes like to pull it out, and I'm not that type of guy. I want it to be nice and easy for them. It should come out fairly easy, I'm going to say. Sometimes you got to give a little bit of a tug. And you're going to work sections. And once you know your dog's growth pattern, you're going to know when it's ready to come out and when it's not. And you'll work those areas. Now, in the beginning, some people like to ball the area because that'll make the coat come in real strong. But then after that, you just maintenance it. And it's called rolling the coat. What I'll do is I'll brush the coat backwards with my hand or a brush. And whatever sticks up, that's what I'm going to try to remove until it's nice and smooth and flat. And what happens is that wire coat will come in, and it should lie nice and flat. Did that answer your question?
Absolutely. And do you have any good shampoo recommendations? Because I don't think BioGroom makes their harsh coat complete more.
You know what? I use a bunch of different types of shampoos. My personal favorite that I've used over the years and is I'm a coat handler guy. I've always been. The reason why there's no oils, lanolins, there's nothing in it that's going to soften a hard coat or make it more difficult to strip, because you don't want nothing basically softening it. You want to keep that nice texture so you could pull it out. But that's what I like. But I also do like BioGroom, I have to be honest with you.
But do they still make it? I haven't been able to find the harsh coat. Like,
you know what? I have to be honest with you. I don't know if they still make it. I don't see why they would have stopped making it, because that was a pretty popular item, especially with the professionals.
I'll just have to keep searching for it then. Well,
absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Well, I'll tell you, this 2 hours always goes so fast. Remember, you can get more over at the website at animalradio.com, and you can listen to Animal Radio anytime you desire by downloading the Animal Radio app for your smartphone, your iPhone, your Android, whatever may be your elected device. What the heck? And visit us on Facebook. Check out the pictures from Super Zoo. They're over at facebook.com/Animal Radio. Plus, you can ask us your questions over there. And enjoy the fun over there. We're giving away all kinds of stuff. We still need to come up with a caption for Dr. Debbie and Doc Halligan over there.
I don't know what... You picked some of the most unflattering pictures there, Hal.
I didn't pick them. I'll tell you right now. I have nothing to do with that. Ladybug, the studio stunt dog, I believe.
Hey, she's already picked on Boss. I know. I know she's out to get Boss.
Has Boss recovered yet?
You know, he has. He's a sturdy guy. You know, he likes women who are just... kind of don't like him, you know. He likes the kind of tough women.
Yeah, I think actually Baby Hope is now the target of Ladybug's ire.
Oh, no.
So. She wants to be the only one. She doesn't like to share the limelight.
Be sure to check out Dr. Debbie's book. What is it, Yorkies and Terriers? What do you call that?
Yorkshire Terriers. Be Your Dog's Best Friend. Yes, and soon I have three more titles coming out as well, if you like pugs, mini schnauzers, and shih tzus.
I like all three. We'll put the link over at animalradio.com. Have a great week. We'll see you next week right here on this fine station.
Bye. Bye-bye.
All right, guys. See you. Thanks.
Oh, bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, thank you, guys. Thank you. Have a great weekend, you guys.
This is Animal Radio Network.